thank you. We have the freedom to come and to pray to you, to bring our petitions before you. We thank you, God, for the government that we have. We pray for those that are in government positions from our local level here all the way to the federal level, God. We just pray that you'd be with them. Give them guidance in all that they do. Pray for those that might need your helping hand or healing hand or just your hand of comfort, God. And we just pray that you would be with those. We know that you know those needs better than what we might even think and know the answers to those needs better than we might imagine. We pray again that you just watch over us. These things we ask in your son's name.
Amen. Mr. Strand, can you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, call to order the Taney County Commission meeting February 29, 2016, 9:01 a.m. We have no public comment. Any commission remarks? Accounts payable.
Move to approve checks numbers 347313 through 347357. There are no warrants. 3 journal entries and 3 transfers.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Approval of executive session minutes for February 22nd, 2016.
I looked for those. I did not even see any in there. I may have just overlooked them. But
here they are.
Okay.
They weren't in the normal envelope.
They're just in the regular.
Okay. Executive session minutes, February 22nd, 2016.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Consultant contract for Road and Bridge. I have a letter here from Frank Cotty, and he's approved the contract for services for Road and Bridge by Tim Houchins.
Yes. This similar contract to what the architects used when we just speak for Road and Bridge.
Is this a 6-month contract? Or?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it has a amount there not to exceed
$4,500. Yeah.
This is going to allow us to be able to take all of our bridge plans and other road plans and stuff and put it in DocuWare, and then also our road petitions will, as much as we can get done. If he completes that before then, then that will be all I need.
Did you see?
It's $4,500.
Yeah.
Motion to approve the contract between Taney County and Mr. Hudson.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Temporary construction easement of Taney County, Missouri. Missouri Sycamore Church Road and Bridge. see here. I have a letter here addressed to the Conservation Commission.
Actually, Great Rivers helped me in getting contact with the Conservation Commission, which owns part of the property that will need a temporary easement for the bridge, and they're requesting the County Commission's letterhead to be able to send a letter to the Conservation Commission.
So you're just needing us to approve a letterhead?
Right.
Yeah, I see in here it's to donate, what, 0.17 acres?
There's three property owners we need to acquire construction easements. Conservation Commission is one of those.
I think that the motion probably needs to be for the construction easement by using one of our letterheads.
Be sent on.
Correct. Yeah, because, they're wanting to use.
Yeah, because we just... The fact they want to use one of our letterheads could have went through just probably contacting us individually, but this contract for the construction easement probably needs to be involved in the motion. I don't know exactly how to put it, but that's the gist of it.
Move to approve. Is this what you want sent out right here?
Yes, we just need... Taney County letterhead, commission okay. Letterhead. To
move to approve letter labeled Exhibit A with today's date to be sent to Conservation Commissioners for the State of Missouri.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Randy, could you get another copy of that and give to Stacy, please? And then probably Donna, do you just want it after?
I have to have one.
Right. Okay. after he signs it, just get some copies of them.
Okay.
We have next update on possible FEMA and HMGP flood buyout. Mr. Atchley, come on up.
You'll have to excuse my voice this morning. I'm kind of battling a cold or whatever it is that's going around at this point. just wanted to provide a brief update this morning. At this point, of course, we've assessed all these flood-damaged properties. In the unincorporated part of the county, we've had basically 59 properties that were damaged during the last flooding. Of the 59, a total of 6 initially come out substantially damaged. I've actually scheduled a meeting. I've got a meeting scheduled for tomorrow with the folks that were either substantially damaged, of course 50% or more of the market value, or the folks that were really close to being substantially damaged. We've got 6 that are substantially damaged at this point, but we've got a total of 17 structures that are 40% or more damaged, with some of these coming out to 48% damaged, 49% damaged. At this point, we've received the notice of interest, and our deadline to submit the notice of interest is March 31st. But on this notice of interest, it asks for the address and the approximate dollar value of each property that the county may be submitting a possible grant application for. I actually got some really good news, or what I feel is great news, on Friday. in speaking with the mitigation officer with SEMA, with the State Emergency Management Agency, she actually indicated that this time any of the regional planning, regional councils of government. And in our case, it's the Southwest Missouri Council of Governments. They're actually authorized to complete a flood buyout on behalf of any entity. And the way, from my understanding, and I didn't get a chance to brief Mr. Erickson about this, but at least from what she's indicated, they could receive a sole source designation is what she's indicated. And so it's my understanding we wouldn't even have to go out for bid then. They could be designated as a sole source. And my hope was if we were going to apply for these FEMA and possibly community development block grant funds, again, that the potentially they could basically take this and run with it is my hope. This has all kind of come about last minute. I've got a meeting scheduled with Dave Fawcett, and Dave is actually the person with the commission's blessing that would actually do this work. I know at this point the only decision that's really been made is just that a notice of interest would be submitted, allowing the county to become eligible for grant funds. I was trying to think of anything else. Are there any questions at this point? Or
I've got a question for you. It's, when you're talking about these 48% and 49%, who does the appraisal of the properties to come up with the percentage? They have to have a total value to start off with and then a value of the damage done. Who does the total property appraisal? And who does the estimates for how much damage is done?
That's what's really tough. At this point, at this front end, FEMA actually requires the county to try to come up with a percentage. Now, they've provided us with a substantial damage estimator computer program. But being really frank, I don't have a great deal of confidence in this. We sent out an initial letter based on the results from this substantial damage estimator, indicating either that the people were found to be initially, that they were either found to be substantially damaged or not substantially damaged. But with that, we're also telling them that if they disagree with our findings, that they provide us with additional documentation in the form of an appraisal and a cost estimate. Or the other thing they provided us in 2011 was the actual FEMA flood insurance documentation they got, what they received. Once they received their FEMA flood insurance payments, FEMA would actually have a value that they had placed on the property, and then an amount that they had paid out in flood insurance payments.
There was a negotiation last time that this took place on. If you didn't agree, then you could get your own appraisal and everything, and then there was like two stages of this thing, and then if the agreement wasn't reached by both parties, somebody set the value.
Yes.
And so what I'm kind of getting around to is last time we didn't have anybody that was close. We either had 50% and above that were damaged, and then the next ones were down like 40 and 38 and 39,
yeah.
And there were several of them in that category. Now, who sets the 50%? Is that a federal FEMA rule? Or I'm just saying this for the news media, so that they understand that the county doesn't set these rules and regulations. They're all set up by FEMA or by
correct.
A government agency. And to come up with a just cost, I mean, all you have to do is drop the value of the home a little bit, and those 48 and 49s are going to qualify, because they're going to all of a sudden become 51s and 52s or 55s. So it's a little bit complicated to say that. And another thing is, your homeowner has the cost of the appraisal, and they have a added cost to try to get their monies from FEMA. So as you can kind of see, I'm not a great big fan of these government agencies. FEMA and them, the rules that they set up sometimes doesn't quite hit the mark as far as we're concerned.
Yes, it's a difficult process. It really is. There are kind of two different processes where we have to obtain value, and that's what's so tough is, and it's kind of two separate things, even though the two things end up intersecting. On the one hand, we have to do these damage assessments to try to determine what structures are substantially damaged, because if they are found to be substantially damaged, as you know, the FEMA requirements require the county to require them to either elevate the structure or remove the structure from the floodplain. But then on the buyout side of things, on the grant side of things, if the county does as they did in 2011, if the county were to make the decision to do another flood buyout, and the focus is on substantially damaged properties, it's my understanding that they waive the benefit cost analysis. There's FEMA actually provides you another computer program, and basically if we were to we could include properties that weren't substantially damaged, but if we do, all they've really indicated to me, and I've not actually used this program, so I don't know exactly how this thing works, but somehow we have to show that for every dollar expended, that it's going to save a dollar in future flood losses. But if a flood buyout is limited to substantially damaged properties, basically that benefit cost analysis is waived. And I think the thought is, it's kind of assumed that it's for every dollar expended, it's going to save a dollar in future flood losses. So they just waive the requirement for this benefit cost analysis. But you're exactly correct. It's a very difficult thing to do. And some of these are so close that I don't feel that it would be difficult for some of these property owners to show that they were substantially damaged. For example, if they're 48 or 49%, I think there's a high likelihood that they could submit documentation showing that they were substantially damaged.
If we make a decision now, one of the processes has been eliminated by what you stated earlier. Before, we had to go out and bid a person to administrate this
correct
process, even though we had you doing the biggest part of it, when we had to have a bid process to evaluate, I guess for the county commission to evaluate. Basically, it would be almost like a resume.
Yes.
And so those things are, that's been eliminated if we end up with a sole source provider situation.
You're talking about if you do the SMCOG?
Yeah, and it's my understanding, and I'll confirm this, but I, at least on the FEMA side, they've indicated if we apply for these hazard mitigation grant program funds, that you're exactly right, that the county could name them as a sole source. They've already indicated to me that they would actually be willing to complete the notice of interest, that they would complete the application if the commission chooses to move forward, and that they would basically be
just
the project, take on the whole thing, that they would be the project manager.
Is that what this on the agenda is, request for vote concern? Is that to
Yes. Yeah, that was my hope.
Have you talked to Mr. Erickson? Is that...
Yeah,
have you looked enough? I mean, have you looked into...
I really do, and I've worked with the gentleman that would actually be doing the work. His name is Dave Fawcett, and I've worked with him on actually two or three different projects, and he's really bright, and I know he's a hard worker as well. I know I feel confident we're not going to see some of the issues that we saw last time.
Have you talked to the cities?
I have.
Are they wanting to join apply, or...?
Well, I was really surprised, and I think the thing I was most surprised at, the city of Branson has indicated that they only had one property that was substantially damaged. I don't know. I mean, that really kind of shocked me, to be honest with you, but they claim they just have one that's substantially damaged, and so that they really don't plan to apply for FEMA funds. I talked some to the city clerk of Rockaway Beach, and he really indicated that most of their structures had 10 to 12 inches in them, and so he really doubted that they would have that many that were substantially damaged. And then I've also talked to Hollister, and the city administrator there's indicated that they've primarily utilized county funds to gradually buyout properties, that every year they've dedicated about $50,000 to gradually buying out properties with city funds.
Yeah, they bought out the park and bought out.
What we did, and this is a different commission than what we had before, but it was, I think, our understanding that the county wouldn't be out any money, that you would, if on your part of it, you were eligible to receive monies for your administrative cost, and that would be my stance this time. But I do think that every citizen, whether it be one or be 9 or 10 or whether it be 17, has the same opportunity to seek funds. Now, my question to you is, how many of these actually had flood insurance? And the flood insurance covers a certain amount, but then before, whenever their flood insurance didn't cover the amount of the total amount of damage done, then it fell into this substantially damaged group. Well, we took care of that. That money's subtracted from what they can get from flood insurance is where I'm going with this.
It is. You're correct. I don't have a number yet. I think I'll have a more concrete number after tomorrow's meeting. I'm planning to meet with all of them.
Let me cut this short. There's so much hinging on this meeting tomorrow. Why don't we let him come back to us with a report from this meeting tomorrow, and then we can vote on whether we want to do these two or three things that's on the agenda.
Do you want to go ahead and allow the SMCOG to handle the application process, though?
Well, if that be the case, but you don't know that for sure till tomorrow, do you?
Well, they've already indicated to me that they
will
have the ability and that they will take it on if the commission wishes for them to.
That's the best way for us out of it, because we...
Being honest with you, the primary reason I wanted to see if the commission was comfortable in voting is I felt like if the commission wasn't comfortable in voting at this point, then I wasn't going to be able to give these people a definitive answer tomorrow.
Pursue it?
Tomorrow.
Do you want to make a motion?
Yeah, I move to allow SMCOG to handle the FEMA HMGP application process.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. I really, really appreciate it.
Now, you're going to get on the agenda to give us an update next week?
I definitely can.
Okay.
I should be able to give you some much more definitive numbers at that point, too, as far as you know, how many properties are we looking at?
How many had insurance? That's one thing that I would like to know. And then those that are laying that 40.
40s and above, I'd like to know how many of those there are and how they come, if they're going to come up with an appraisal, you know. You'll know all those next week. Okay.
Yeah, right now, just to tell you, 40 and above, there's 17 total. And of those, we've got 6 that are substantial. I've probably got another 6 that are just right there, just right on that line. I mean, I've literally got a couple that came out, and it's crazy in this program that it comes out to a tenth of a percentage point, but a couple of them I think came out at like 49.5 or 6%.
Yeah.
So even though the computer considers them not substantially damaged because they're not 50, for all practical purposes, they're just really, really close.
Yeah.
And the flood insurance cap is what, $250,000?
$250,000. Okay. And I do the best, and you're exactly correct. If it was a $300,000 house and they receive $100,000 in flood insurance, the most they would receive in grant funds is this remaining $200,000. So they're never. They call it duplication of benefits. They can't ever receive the same money twice. And so if it ended up that they had to provide the 25%, it would really be the 25%
of the remaining balance
of
after
the remaining balance after insurance. Yeah, so it starts to whittle that amount down quite a bit.
Now, did we step in last time? Because, I mean, this has been a 4 or 5 year process from the first time. But did we step in on the 25%, and did the property owners themselves, I mean, I guess I'm ahead of myself because we're not near that far yet, but who represented the 25%?
SEMA picked up the 25%.
Last time it was the Missouri Department
of Economic Development. Or the CDBG, or yeah.
Right.
Not SEMA, yes.
Right.
Yeah, the community.
That picked that up.
And just to tell you, I have contacted, right or wrong, the Missouri Department of Economic Development. I spoke with Andy Papin. He's the head of the CDBG program. And he feels that those funds will likely be available again if the county chooses to apply. He wouldn't, of course, come out directly and say that they would absolutely fund this, but we're de-obligating, we're returning a certain amount of funds. Privately, he kind of indicated that potentially those funds could just come back to us, that we're in the process now of de-obligating.
I want to make something kind of clear on this, that, you know, we stated before that the county didn't want to be out any money on this, and then I'm stating that this time, but basically we are out monies because we have to provide a clean, mowable lot after this thing is complete. It's the monies that are out during the process. We're not going to be out any money then, but
right.
We are out monies whenever we have to maintain that property in a certain manner. And I know that we have, it's basically come out of the parks program, monies for mowing and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, just thought I'd make that,
yes, you're correct,
that statement.
You are correct. Well, thank you very much. And I will definitely give you a more detailed update next week. And I should have a lot more detailed information at that point.
Well, thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Court orders.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
We don't have that many this morning, just a total of two. The first one is personal property paid abatements, which is personal property refunds. Abatement number 300110 And the property was assessed for a double wide on two separate accounts, and one of the accounts had been paid, and this one here, it was accidentally placed on it.
So it's a clerical error, is that what you're saying?
Erroneous assessment.
Right, but I mean, it's a clerical error if it's put on twice, right? So it's erroneous assessment, and we can handle that. Motion to approve Exhibit A.
Be Exhibit B, we had Exhibit A earlier.
We already did Exhibit A on the other, but that's on court. That's pertaining to court orders, but
I'd make it Exhibit B.
With it, okay, with today's date.
What's the exhibit number? Letter?
B.
B.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
The next one is an erroneous assessment on a real estate property, and it is a condo, and it's a erroneous per attached condo letter, change from commercial to residential value. The court order, the abatement number is 202235. And that's the only real estate one we have this week.
Reason is why they're almost a year late on the condo letter. Did they give a reason? Didn't get it? Got it? Didn't turn it in?
Brandon, I believe this is one of those that the they found when they got their escrow value changed.
Went up.
They were not aware of it.
My view on this one is just the same as it was on the other one that we had 2 or 3 weeks ago. I think she signed the letter the 16th of February or something like that, sent it to us. So.
So it's already been changed in the beacon?
It's put into our Ulrich abatement program. And I guess it could be changed in Beacon.
So even before we vote on it to allow it to change, it's already been changed?
But not in the tax program.
Not in the tax, but not just in the Beacon? Okay. I was curious. I was trying to...
It's just like Sheila could look at it, I think, but she can't do anything with it until it gets voted on, until we release it to her.
Gotcha.
I'm going to see where this goes. So, I mean, I know you guys are stating this, but I'm going to make a motion to deny.
Is that just for this one or all four future ones?
No, this is for this one here we're talking about. Okay. All the future ones may have different dates on them than what this one's got on it.
Do you want to include, just a thought, do you want to include that in your motion?
I'm just doing this one right here.
Okay.
It's not going to make any difference because it doesn't look like it's going to get a second, so. You got to start somewhere.
Gotta start somewhere.
If I may say, once the assessor writes that abatement, it puts it in an old pattern, and the collector cannot print a bill or cannot touch it in any way until the clerk, like if you deny it, and the clerk will put denied there, then it will put it all back to the original value, and then we can accept payment or print a bill.
So they've not paid this bill yet. They've just they're waiting on a decision. Although taxes are due December the 31st.
It's not a refund abatement, is it, Wesley?
No, it's
not.
No.
No. So that's what I mean. That's.
We have a lot of that.
Well, I know, but I'm taking a stance on this.
Oh no, I know. I'm just we have a lot of it.
Brandon, if I may.
Go ahead. It appears like they have.
It must not have been an escrow deal because the bank would have paid for it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if she was sent form at the end when she got there.
It looks like they've got quite a few other just regular rental properties, too. So I don't think it's a question of validity. Danny?
Do what?
So I don't think it's a move to go ahead and approve Exhibit C with today's date.
I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen. That's all I've got for today.
Okay, that's all we have. We'll be in recess and meet upstairs for daily staff reviews, agenda requests.